Thank you.
Here we go.
Start my timer because I love Step 10. It's my favorite step. They're all, it's like we have a joke here because Kale's, every step is Kale's favorite step. But step 10 is actually, this is continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. How could that be anybody's favorite step, right? But what was interesting about this for me is that it reminds me every day that every minute I'm going to probably screw it up. And that I can be back in something that feels like whole, like I'm full, like whole, like okay. Anytime I do like stray or kind of get off the right track by some making some very simple things, it's like stop would be a really good thing to do, and I can make amends right away. So that's one of the key things. We actually talk about step 10 in three places in the EDA Big Book. The first place is on page 186. So if you're having a rage, while we're getting to page 186, I do want to read the long form of EDA step 10, which shows up on that page, which says, we continued and continue to listen to our conscience. When troubled, we get honest, make amends, and change our thinking or behavior. We continue to notice what we do right, and we're grateful when engaged in right thinking and positive action. So when I first started taking step 10, way back many years ago in another 12-step fellowship, you know, they told me, well, when you're doing step 10, you know, first of all, you should like get on your knees and like throw your, it's like part of this was just sort of like, okay, you know, step four was all about a moral inventory. And then step 10 is kind of like the maintenance version of that. And I found it very difficult at the end of the day, which is when they suggest to do it, to not do self-flagellation, you know, where it's just like, let's beat myself up because every single thing I thought or did that day was wrong. And it made it very unpleasant to do my step 10. And so how many step 10s did I really do? Not a lot. So one of the things we do in EDA, and it mentions that really on that page 186, is that a lot of step 10 is about taking inventory and making sure that we're accounting to ourselves those right decisions that we make, because recovering from an eating disorder means focusing on what we're doing right as much as anything else. So a lot of what we think may not be so amazing, but focusing on what we're doing right helps us recognize that we actually have a lot to build from. And so, when we lose perspective, now on page 187, we lose perspective, we also lose our peace and the power to stay free of our eating disorder. So losing perspective is a problem. To maintain what we've worked so hard to develop, we suggest setting aside some time each day to complete a written inventory. Ooh, written inventories. How many of you like are fond of like writing and it gives you peace and joy? If you're raising your hand, I'm applauding you right now, because you know how many years in program it took me to get there? Like way more than it should take anybody to ever get. I mean, I'm talking like decades. But what I'd like to tell you about this is that it's not so difficult. I time box it. That's one of the suggestions that we use, is like, you know, sit down at a regular time each day and limit yourself to, again, because it's like, again, we do our fourth step. It says do a searching and thorough moral inventory. And to me, that meant reams of notebooks. It meant going on about every single thing that I'd ever done. Well, no, we're looking for patterns. And if you're writing every day, do you have to write about every single stinking thing that you thought that made you uncomfortable? Gosh, I hope not. So that would go on for hours. So instead, we pick one or two things. So some key ideas. I wanted to remind, on page 188, it says, second full paragraph, sometimes all that's required to regain perspective is to ask ourselves if we're taking care of basics. That never used to occur to me either. It's like, if I'm really cranky and just snapped at somebody for doing nothing terrible, usually that means that I'm not getting my basic needs met, and I'm cranky and angry because, you know, because I'm busy trying to make something else more important, when the most important thing would be to like not be a two-year-old in my own life. So I think it's really important that reflecting on what gives us perspective, whatever we do, like, you know, they say it's spot check inventory. Just bring yourself up short. It's like, what's really going on? Okay, am I too hungry, angry, lonely, tired? That might really be the problem. That's taking a personal inventory, folks. It doesn't have to be complicated. So we do not take care of ourselves. Oh, if we do not take care of ourselves properly, our most primal self is neglected, which causes it to emerge and selfishly demand attention. Oh yeah, have anybody been there? That's me a lot. But some key ideas about taking step 10 include, and we start on page 189, do first things first, do one thing at a time. That was very hard for me. I'm not very good at doing many things at once. I easily get overwhelmed, even though I don't like to admit it. But with focusing on just one thing at a time, you know, so I make lots of lists so that I can do just one thing and focus on it until done. And then do first things first. Find the positive. Find the humor. That's also challenging, because if I'm not taking care of basics, I'm one of the grimmest people you'd ever meet. And that's not how I want to be in life. Be an adult. That can sound insulting to people, but it actually takes practice and intention. Deal with problems directly. When anxious, again, like we said, go outside, do something that focuses attention on your physical senses. Get open with others. Be kind, be flexible, and do the work. Ooh, what's that mean? It means thinking actually intentionally about balance and perspective. It says our daily inventory on page 191 now should include a review of situations and ideas that evoke strong negative responses like resentment, fear, self-pity, guilt, shame, confusion, frustration, or despair. What's that sound like? It sounds like a step four. We also want to give consideration to what we could have thought or done instead. What's that sound like? It sounds like the resolution portion of step four. And then we suggest wrapping up each session with a respectful and appreciative reflection on what's going right. and that's really kind of part of the EDA step 10. Not something that you hear about in every program, but a brief daily gratitude list. And actually, this is part of finding balance, because we just spent a lot of time thinking about what we felt crappy about. So finding things that we can feel good about is just as important and should get just about as much attention in our daily inventory. So as part of the gratitude list, I think it's easy to kind of go like, well, I've got a house, I've got a job, I've got a car. You know, it's like, that's pretty good, right? But actually, you know what, that is all like material stuff. And what makes a bigger difference for me is like noticing the things that I did right and what others did right. Because I'm always busy like, well, he didn't clean his room, or he forgot to pick up the dry cleaning. And, you know, it really helps for me to think about, well, you know, he also did the laundry, and he also, you know, so things that remind me of what other people do right is just as important as reminding me about what I've done right. The next part of, and I'm nowhere near done, and I know my time is ticking away. Next portion that speaks about step 10 is, well, and there's many other places, but 134. So in the EDA Big Book, we have a long section which describes how to take somebody through the steps. So if you're somebody that doesn't have someone helping you go through the steps, you can read this stuff and it may provide some insight. On page 234, it actually kind of puts steps 10 and 11 together. And you're like, but wait, aren't we supposed to do them in order? And the answer is like, well, yes, it helps to kind of organize things. And if they're in an order for, they're numbered. Okay, these steps are numbered, so they clearly go in order. But steps 10 and 11, in the way we tend to work them, is like once you've figured out what it is, they go hand in hand. So I always wrap up my step 10 with something like a reflection. I'm like, what's my intention for the day? Well, step 11 is about finding through prayer and meditation are a closer connection with God as I understand God, and praying for knowledge of God's will for me, and having the power to carry that out. So finding that means surrender. And there's this prayer of St. Francis, which is really about, let it not be about me, let it be about what I can bring into life. And that helps a lot, because sometimes when I'm a pile of pain and misery, I don't really want to focus on all that, and it doesn't even help. It just feels like wallowing. So when I remember to turn it outward into what I can do with, like, I've just spent X amount of time, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, focusing on my wrong ways of thinking and how I need to think differently. But then when I want to turn out and show up in my life, I need to focus on how am I going to be? Because it's not really about me. I don't matter that much. I mean, I matter to me, but in the bigger picture, in the broader context, it matters whether or not I'm really listening. It matters whether I'm really, like, reliable for other people. And So I take care of my basics, and then I have to focus on what I can do for others. And that's what step 11 does for me. So I just wanted to point out that, and on page 234, they really do hand in hand. The next part, which I have a particular affinity for, is on page 517, where it takes you through like exactly how one person does step 10. Oh, what's that mean? So the key things here is that they break it down. So it's really about maintaining balance. Don't be rigid is a key thing. So you're going to read in this section, starting on page 517, a rather rigid approach. Sit down, make a chart. And there's an example of the chart in the workbook on page 33. So if you want to see what one of those looks like, page 33 in the workbook that's on the homepage of the EDA website. But the process means like outlining major events. Like, and why do we do this? Because in my own little mind, I'm busy running away from all the crap and all the ways that I didn't show up. And like, if I feel terrible about something, chances are very good that I am just like going to pretend that never happened. You know? And so what do I have to do? I have to sometimes think about, well, I'll do one of two things. Either I'll belabor it, or I'll just like, oh, that, you know, that was a nothing. But inevitably there's some part of me that catches and you know, it's like when somebody blew up at this thing that we hosted over the weekend and sort of like verbally launched into an elderly person, you know, I felt terrible about it. And I felt terrible for the person that blew up because they were clearly overstressed. And I felt terrible because I didn't defend the elderly person very well. And, you know, I kept thinking, well, what could I have done differently? What could, you know, and the answer is really probably nothing. I mean, the main answer there is empathy. Empathy for the person, you know, it's like follow up with them, follow up with the person who is attacked, you know, express, you know, concern. It's like show up. And, you know, but if I hadn't sat down the next morning and thought like, you know, God, what did, you know, it's like, how did I create an environment where that could happen? You know, I really had to look at, so what do I need to do now? And, but I wouldn't have necessarily thought of that if I hadn't written it out and just said, you know, I really feel terrible about that circumstance. So major events, they remind us of what happened so that we don't just like gloss them over and we're like, oh, that's nothing. Because I do. The next part is actually those things that the events brought up. So, I mean, I could write, well, you know, this happened and that happened. And a lot of times I just forget. And, you know, when I'm thinking about, oh, yeah, I said something to my son about how great the beard looks, and he gave me this look. Well, what was that about? Maybe it is not my job to judge his appearance. You know, I mean, it's like, do I owe him an amend? So, I mean, as I'm writing these things out, it gives me an opportunity to rethink what I've done, to decide if I want to do it the same way if something like that comes up again, or if there's a new response that I want to actually pick up and implement the next time. So the next time I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, beard looks pretty decent. Do I need to say that? Or do I just need to say something like, hey, you look really confident today? Or, you know, something that's maybe more meaningful than his freaking appearance. Okay, anyway, so there's all that. And so there's that reflection on like, which is like a mini four step. So, you know, what was I upset about or who upset me? What was threatened on my part, you know, so I felt bad because he looked at me funny, like I'm a terrible mother or a terrible person. So I felt like my self-esteem and my family relationships were in jeopardy. And what was it that was my part? Well, I said something that I thought was complimentary, and I felt miserable because my good intentions weren't recognized and rewarded with, you know, happy, joyous, and loving responses. So, and my reflection, like, well, what should I have done instead? What was my resolution? And it's really just to make it more about something substantive instead of appearance, which my son knows full well is never an area. I mean, it's like I react badly when my mother comments on my appearance. How could it be any different with my own kids? So anyway, that's just a really trivial example. I'm sorry, I had better ones. But so the third part, again, you're like, oh my God, isn't she ever going to stop? How many parts are there? Well, there's four. And the first part is events. Second part is basically like a mini fourth step. It's that sort of breakdown of like the areas where I think something went weird. And then the third part is the gratitude list. So, you know, I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to invite people into my house. Maybe it didn't go great, but I got to see people. I was able to show up and be, you know, an aunt and a sister-in-law. And, I was able to be there. And, you know, I think it was a good time. And my son cooked, or the other son that never cooks cooked. And it was edible, barely, but it was edible. It's like, so a lot of good things happened. And it's time to stop. All right, well, I am going to stop. There we go. So the main thing here is just do it, okay? Don't be rigid about it. The last part is goals. Make some kind of like an intention that would help you feel, help me feel like the person that I want to be, somebody of dignity and integrity that I can do quietly, one person, somebody that is treating me poorly, somebody that I think might need a call. I'll like make a deliberate goal. And sometimes it's just like, you know, first things first, it's really simple. But it helps to start the day that way. And the 10th step has really made more difference in my relationships with my husband, with my kids, than any other single thing that I could have imagined ever picking up. So with that, I will turn it back over to all of you guys. Thank you for being there, and happy Thanksgiving. I am delighted and thrilled to be here. There you go.
Thanks, Annette. I'm going to stop the recording.